Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Oh, yeah. You know what time it is, folks, on the John Trucker Show. Time to get some brown liquor music going here. Start with a little Avert, a little Casanova going here. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line for Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line if you want to interact with the show.
I'm much on Casanova. Me and Romeo ain't never
been. I hadn't heard this song in a while. There you go. We're streaming online at 929thegame.com. If you will go there, our new and improved website, you can catch replays of the shows, catch us live, interviews, best moments, all that good stuff. Our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put your app on whatever device that you carry with you, your phone, your tablet, your turntable, boombox, Walkman, Laserdisc, whatever you got out there. Download the app to that device. All of the social media for the station's at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow, like, be a part of all of that. The best way to follow along with this particular show, as always, is through our Twitter handles. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. It's all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is the producer of the show. He is Jarvis Davis. You can follow him at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We're watching the Braves right now, down 4-1, as they're, God almighty, this game's only in the fifth inning thus far. Was there like a rain delay that we missed or something in this game? My God, what a slow game this is. I mean, a four-hour game at the rate that they're going out there. So anyway, let's get to some NFL no-huddle stuff, if you will. So, former Pittsburgh Steeler and Oakland Raiders wide receiver Martavis Bryant has formally applied for reinstatement in the NFL, according to the sources that told ESPN on Monday. Now, Bryant sent an email to league officials requesting reinstatement from an indefinite suspension that the league imposed on him for repeated violations of the league's drug policy. The fourth-round pick in 2014, but missed 36 of a possible 80 regular season games since then because of suspensions. Bryant's been working with the NFL and the NFLPA to address his mental health, put himself in a position where he thinks the application for reinstatement has a chance to succeed. Of course, they put together a new mental health and wellness policy in May, but, you know, we shall see. You know, look, if he comes out clean and everything's good and all that kind of stuff, I don't have a problem with giving a guy like that a second chance, if it's been drugs and things like that. You know, there are certain things that are going to be obviously hard to come back from, and then there are other things that aren't, aren't to me life-banning. I mean, unless you just prove that you can't stay clean or sober or anything like that. So, while Grady Jarrett got his contract done with the Atlanta Falcons after signing his franchise tenure, which he was going to play under if he didn't get the deal done. Well, in Houston, it's a different story where Jadeveon Clowney has not agreed to any kind of long-term deal, and so he hasn't signed his franchise tag either. Now, they say Clowney's going to miss most, if not all, of training camp and still has not signed the franchise tender, which was worth $15.967 million. Now, besides the fact of wanting a long deal, the NFL assigned him as a linebacker rather than a defensive end, which was about a $1.4 million difference. And that's based upon, remember, the amount of snaps that you play at a particular position. So the higher your snap count is or higher percentage of your snaps at one position, that's where, when it comes to be franchising, you're going to get franchised at. Well, for Jadeveon Clowney, instead of being a defensive end, he was franchised as a linebacker. And, of course, difference between linebackers and defensive ends in the NFL, that can be a lot of money. It can be a lot of money long term. So the NFLPA is going to file a grievance against the Texans over the position the team assigned Clowney. But then again, part of that comes from the NFL as well. So although it says that he played most of his snaps at defensive end, so I don't know. That's it. Usually what they do is the most snaps at what you play. It says he played 729 at defensive end and only 33 at linebacker. That's a weird designation then if that is true out there. Had his third Pro Bowl season, obviously battled knee injuries and things like that. Look, if the Houston Texans are going to be taken for real and they are going to be one of those franchises that can take that next step forward, you think you got your quarterback and Deshaun Watson and all that, well, you know, guys like Clowney that have kind of figured it out now, because J.J. Watt ain't playing forever. You know, Clowney's kind of figured some things out and become a really productive player in the NFL. You don't want to mess around with guys like that, especially guys who have the talent level that Jadeveon Clowney has. You know what I mean? I understand not wanting to pay guys more and this kind of stuff, but look, there comes a point where if that guy's got value to it, then you've got to pony up. And to me, he's one of those guys that could be on the cusp of being one of those great players in the league, that things have maybe finally come together for Jadeveon Clowney and maybe for him that, you know, he's about to hit his peak years. Now, we talked yesterday about the Madden ratings for the Atlanta Falcons. We were giving you the numbers and stuff like that. Now, by the way, too, and I don't think Jarvis has this, but if you go to AtlantaFalcons.com, they did a quick little interview video. It's just a few minutes long, asking guys about their rankings and where they thought they were. Like, DeMonte KZ was not happy about his ranking. Freeman didn't really care one way or the other. Caleb McGarry was actually quite a bit lower than where he even thought he might be. So all around the league, you're seeing guys that, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I guess I haven't quite figured out why it's important to have your Madden rating. It ain't going to get you paid anything extra, okay? If you produce, you're going to get paid, no matter what your Madden rating ends up being for all of it. But some guys were not happy. Now, Keenan Allen, right? That's the video you've got, wide receiver for the San Diego Chargers, okay? One of the more productive players in the NFL. Wide receivers didn't have a very good time of it, by the way, in Madden. I think, if I'm right, that DeAndre Hopkins was the only wide receiver to get a 99 out of all of it. Yeah, he was the only wide receiver that received a 99. Keenan Allen, what did Keenan Allen receive, Jarvis? What was his overall grade? 89, okay. Well, he was not happy, and of course, because of how we have to operate in 2019, went to, what was this, Instagram or something and posted a video? Yeah, putting out a video. Let me let you hear what he had to say.
And I just want to start this video off by saying I will not be playing Madden 20, period. All right, number one, my overall is at 89, for sure. My short route running is a 91. 60. My medium route running is an 88. What? Like, my deep route running is a 75. Like, bro, who's making this dog? What? Who did this? Speed's at 87. Like, bro, ain't nobody just running with me step for step like that, bro. Like, come on, dog. It's not that sweet out there, man. Like, what is you thinking? My strength is 69, like I'm a little boy. I'm just not understanding something. I'm not understanding. I'm an 89 on the game, Pro Bowl, back-to-back, 1,000. I don't understand. What's up? Talk to me.
So, you know, look at Allen's stats. He had 97 catches for basically 1,200 yards, 12 yards reception, 6 touchdowns last year. And he did carry the football. You know, he had 9 rushes for 75 yards. Last year, 106 total touches on the season for him. I don't how they come up with the Madden ratings and stuff like that. I don't know. Is Keenan Allen one of the better wide receivers in the NFL? Yeah. Is he Julio or AB? No, he ain't one of those guys. I don't know. What do you any idea what did we say Julio's was yesterday? Was he in the 90s? 98. Yeah. Okay. So he's right there on the cusp. So, you know, those guys should be at the top tier of everything. Those guys should be at the top tier. Keenan Allen's probably in that next step below. Not much, but it's probably in that next just kind of little bit of a step below out of it. But it is kind of funny when you watch these guys get all mad and upset about what a Madden rating has out there. And by the way, they get paid on that too, don't they, right? To use their likeness and everything like that. The Players Association. Yeah, like I think that they get money through the Players Association for all that. The EA Sports will negotiate an NFLPA and the NFL, and then those guys will get a pay and a cut from all that kind of stuff out there. So, again, not feeling bad for Keenan Allen. He probably got paid for having his image put out there. Do we get paid for putting our image anywhere? Jarvis, do we have a way to collect any money off that? Nice. They'll squeeze more free hours out of us as they can out there. So, and then the latest drama, if you will, in Dallas is the fact that Ezekiel Elliott could be the next guy that says that he may sit out. Says that Elliott has privately said that he will hold out of training camp unless he gets a new contract. So obviously been focused on everybody else. But Elliott has 2 years remaining on his rookie deal. And given that first-round selections are subject to fifth-year options. So he's got one more year of his contract with a fifth-year option that the team, that fifth-year option, you get, what is it, the average of the top 10 or something percent, whatever that number is, ends up being a pretty fairly high number. They talk about the fact that running backs in the NFL have such a short shelf life that you better be Todd Gurley and get your money now. Better go get your money now and not wait around and see what happens, because the shelf life of these guys goes by really quick. Doesn't Todd Gurley, in hindsight, look like a brilliant business maneuver to get his money, knowing he's got arthritic whatever? Like, that seems like the smartest thing that he could have done, is go ahead and get his money now and then hope for the best. And, you know, if you play through it, you don't. If you don't play through, then you got, you know, at least your guaranteed money part of your contract out there. So, I think the Cowboys, you know, I mean, look, do you want Ezekiel Elliott? Yes. Does he make your better football team? Yeah, absolutely, out there. But like everything else with running backs, be careful how much money you put into these guys. You put too much money in these running backs in today's league, I got news for you. They won't be around a whole much longer. And that's our NFL No Huddle. Hey, when we come back, should everything be on the table for the Braves to make a move to make them World Series contenders? Or are there certain guys that you should just not get rid of? We'll discuss that next. John Chuckery, it's the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 99 The Game. I can't even talk. Yeah. Freddie got me all tongue-tied. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuckery back in the Kia Studios on the John Chuckery Show. Got some Freddie, baby. Got some Freddie going. That was the pull of the year so far, was that Freddie Jackson Nice and Slow that we did a couple weeks ago or whatever. Yeah, that was holy cow. That was a holy cow moment. I had to go in the car when I left it and put that on out there. I love Freddie Jackson, man. It's bad man right here. 404-741-0929. It's our phone lines, or Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with the show. You can check us out on Twitter. I'm at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Follow us here on the station. That way we can be very interactive with you. A lot of folks like to interact on Twitter. So if you have it, jump on board and feel free to be a part of the fun and the discussion. So watching the Atlanta Braves as they are down 4-1 in the game that would never end in the sixth inning. Like, there's going to be like another 3 hours before this game ever ends. Poor Paul Crane. He's going to stay here till the bitter end too. So he ain't going to get home to like Wednesday or Thursday, for good old Paul. Actually, about Thursday or Friday at the rate that we're going. I guess it is Tuesday. Trade deadline looming, coming up quick. We all know that the Braves have to make moves. We talked a little bit about this last night with what the Braves should do and all that kind of stuff. By the way, too, there's an article. Let's see here. Oh, gosh. I can reach over and get it. On ESPN, one of their baseball writers talks about one player each team should either trade for or deal away. Now, for the Braves, they have should acquire Will Smith. Smith is the best reliever available, a lefty who gets righties out in the midst of a second straight dominant season. Every contending team will be on him, as every contending team can use bullpen help. The Braves, however, have the deepest farm system of any of the contenders and should take advantage to add a key piece for their playoff run. The idea of acquiring both Smith and Bumgarner has been tossed out there, and it's an intriguing consideration, but that would take a buy-in from Braves ownership, and signing Dallas Keuchel might already fit the one big move you're going to get from penny-pinching Liberty Media. Wow, how about that for hot take? Hot take Tommy, who's coming up next out there. So ESPN giving you the hot takes out there. So with that, the question becomes whether or not and how much the Braves should be all in trying to win the World Series. Are there certain prospects that, whammo, Milwaukee now up 5-1, home run there. I didn't see who was it that hit. That's not Thames. I don't know who that is. Not one of the not Yelich or one of them. So anyway, you know, if the Braves are going to get into the business of the Shane Greens and the Will Smiths and things like that, you know, they're going to be competing with a bunch of teams that need help as well. And a bunch of teams that might have a different philosophy about going for it than what the Atlanta Braves do. I do feel concerned that there is some potential penny pinching and things like that, that you definitely want to see the Braves be aggressive. Does that mean give away the farm? Doesn't mean give away the farm. But at some point, we're going to have to take what we consider to be assets, you know, and turn those into actual either prospect, you know, guys that come up and make a move, or players. But at some point, just being prospect doesn't get you a World Series. And that's where the Braves, I think, need to start living a little bit more is, can we be a team that gets into the mix for the World Series? We talked yesterday about the power rankings. Only the Dodgers are the only other NL team that's above the Atlanta Braves. It's all the other AL teams. Well, get to the World Series and we'll figure out the AL from there. You know what I mean? I don't care about all that. We'll figure out what's going on with the American League. But the Braves are going to have to realize that it's going to take some bidding against some other teams if you really want to get what you want. Because I know we're hearing about Luke Jackson and we're going to keep trying him and this, that, and the other, but you're going to have to miss me with all that when it gets to be playoff time. When it gets to be playoff time and it's nut crunching time and one run games, you know, and you're playing the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Brewers or whatever like that, you know, I don't trust those guys in these high leverage situations. Got to find guys who got some track record. Will Smith is obviously a guy I've been talking about for a bunch of months now that I think would be great to have with the Atlanta Braves. But are you willing to give up your assets to do it? Are you willing to give up some of your precious pitching prospects? Willing to give up any of your outfielders? Because let me tell you, there's two guys for this franchise as outfielders that people look at as the next two big stars offensively for this team. One is Drew Waters. And the other is Christian Pache. And a lot of people look at that's the two guys that as Riley goes to third, Mark Hakus retires or quits or is cut, you know, no more Ender, that Pache, Waters, Acuna is your outfield of the future. That's what everybody's projecting. Now, how often in baseball and sports does everything come out exactly the way that you thought, you know, it would be? But they've been very reluctant to want to move those guys. I'm a believer that everybody's expendable. You know, I mean, everybody can become expendable at some point. If you get the right deal, then everything has to be better. I mean, everything is on the table at this point. Now, I would tell you with the Atlanta Braves, I don't think that internally their philosophy is, you know, going to be one of those things that they may have the same hardcore go for it. I think they want to go for it. I think they want to try to make a run at the World Series. I don't think it's a matter of that, obviously, but it's what kind of assets are you willing to put in to gain the pieces and the parts that you need to become that? That's where I wonder if the dedication is there for Liberty Media out there. You know, much like we read the Dodgers profile yesterday about, you know, don't leave anything on the table or whatever it was, you know, go for it. Braves should be in some of that mode too. if one of those outfielders has to go to get the right guy, then that's what's got to happen. You never want to sit around in sports and wait for the, well, our time is coming. Well, we're getting there. You know, especially when you're really close, you know. If you feel like you're only one step away, maybe you're really not one step away and you're ready to win and you just don't know it yet. And that's what I fear about the Braves is, well, you know, we didn't think we was going to win the World Series this year or whatever like that, but, you know, we made a nice little run in the playoffs and stuff like that. Well, sometimes it's not good enough when you're one of the best teams. You know, if you're the second best team in the National League, just kind of saying, well, we got in the wild card or we got a playoff or whatever like that, you know, just not going to get it. So it will be very interesting to see what Double A does. He's been pretty, you know, we talked with Gabe earlier in the show, Gabe Burns from the AJC. You know, he's been pretty, you know, not so aggressive. Hasn't really rolled the dice real heavily like some of the moves that he made when he was in Toronto. Do I think the Braves are going to make a move? Yes, I think the Braves are definitely going to make some kind of move. I just don't know how deep into the rabbit hole of prospects that they are willing to move. You know, you got a lot of pitching prospects. They're not all going to make it. Not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody can start for your team. And I think teams get so afraid of, if I trade this guy and he becomes great, how do I replace him? You can't think like that. You only go on the here and now of what the information and where that information leads you to tell you about a particular prospect. You can't be afraid to get rid of some of those guys because, well, he may be really good. Well, yeah. Again, they don't want your trash. They're not going to give up major league quality talent and give you, here's a bunch of trash back. Here's a bag of balls and, you know, a box of donuts and, you know, go on your way. You know, they want assets too for what? If they have something that you want, they want something back. So I'm going to be curious to hear maybe not just the deals that end up being made by Double A at the trade deadline. What deals didn't get made? What deals did they turn down? There's going to be some guys. Look, Ian Anderson, Christian Pache, Drew Waters. Those are guys that teams are going to covet. You may have to give up one of those guys to get what you want. Because my question would be this. If you could keep three of the best prospects that the Braves ever have, or I get a guaranteed World Series victory, which one are you taking? Now, I understand nothing is that absolute in life that one piece makes it, but if I feel like I can win the World Series, go win the World Series. That would be my philosophy. Would I love to see Drew Waters in a Braves uniform? Yes. But if to get Will Smith or whatever in here to be lights out and I had to give him up, then you give him up. You don't know when you don't know when that circle of life comes back around. Maybe it does come back the very next year. Maybe, you know, you just roll along. But there's often times when it doesn't. If your window is now to win, seize the moment. Seize that moment to go out there and get that victory now and not wait to see what kind of develops or who else becomes available or this, that, and the other. Go take it and win it now. And me, if I had the right deal, I wouldn't leave anybody off the table. Nobody would be off the table if I got the right deal. No, nobody, at least in their minor league system. Major league system may be, major league team might be a little bit different, but nobody in their minor league system to me is always untouchable. Just not. Braves have some of their cornerstone pieces. Now just do what you got to do to fix the back end of your bullpen or get you one more starter to get through all this and let's see what happens. All right, when we get back, is UGA the only team that might be equipped to take down Clemson in Alabama in the college football playoff world today? We'll discuss all that next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, hanging out on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Ron Liquor Music, John Chuckery Show. Chuckery in the house. You want to know a little secret? Believe it or not, this is my favorite Michael Jackson song, Off the Wall. Yep. Even more than Billie Jean and Beat It and everything else that Michael's done. You know, the other ones, Rock With You on this album and Don't Stop to Get Enough and all the... This is my favorite Michael Jackson song. I don't know why. I love this. You know, I've told you before, Off the Wall is a better overall album than Thriller is. Now, the difference is Thriller, those two top songs on Thriller, when you're talking about Beat It and Billie Jean, are as good as you could ever do. Yeah, I mean, it's really top heavy. But, you know, The Girl Is Mine and some of that junk that's on there, I mean, you know. And there are other good songs. I mean, I like Human Nature. I like PYT, you know. Wanna Be Starting Something's okay. It's kind of gotten old. I don't think Wanna Be Starting Something holds up as well as some of his other songs. But, like, when you listen to this album start to finish, man, I love this album. And this is you know, the first time him and Quincy really getting it going. I'm telling you, man, you want something to watch on Netflix, okay? Go watch that Quincy Jones documentary on Netflix, okay? And I'm telling you, when they get to this time frame and he does the Brothers Johnson album and he does Off the Wall, like, back-to-back, and, like, in the documentary, they got the music going and he's got, you know, like, that's me all the way, is that late 70s, 78, 79, okay? You got bell-bottom pants that are so wide, homeless people are living in them, okay? You got the sequin shirt with the lapels that look like the wings of a 737, okay? And you got the taco meat hanging out, gold chain, he's got the fro, the scraggly beard. Man, that is my era right there. Like, give me that all day long, 78, 79. Give me that all day long. And then I'm telling you, that little stretch of that movie where they're talking about Brothers Johnson and you get that Louis Johnson, he's getting it cranked up. Then they go into Off the Wall and they're playing this kind of stuff. Oh, that's what I'm all about right there, man. That late 70s stuff, man. I mean, that's my youth, man. I mean, you know, that's all my youth. I mean, that 78, 79, Off the Wall, you know, all the disco stuff, you know, as disco's kind of winding down. Oh, I say all the time, Jarvis, if I could go back in the time machine, I want to go back and be like 20 years old, 21 years old in that. Of course, drinking was 18 years old back then, but let me be disco club age at that point. You know what I mean? Let me be 20, 21 years old in like 78, 79. You know, instead of being 8 or 9 years old or whatever I was, 7, 8 years old, let me be 21 in 1978. Oh, I'd have tore it down. Like, I wouldn't have made it to 30 if I'd been 21 years old in 1978, I wouldn't have been 30. I wouldn't have made it to my 30s. No way. I would have burned it down. You know, I can honestly say, I've never done hard drugs. I've never done cocaine or, you know, speed or amphetamines or anything like that. I've never done, you know, heroin, or I've never done any kind of hard. I literally have only smoked marijuana 3 times in my life. Like, I marijuana has never been something that's interested me. I think it's, I just doesn't interest me at all. But I've never done hardcore drugs. I can tell you, if I'd have been alive at 78, 79, at 21 years old, I'd have been done. I'd have been at Studio 54, spoon in the nose. You know what I mean? It'd have been over. It'd have been. You think the heart attack would have kept? Nah, that'd have been nothing. I'd have laughed that off, man. My heart would have jumped out of my skin and ran down Fifth and Broadway or whatever. You know what I mean? It would have just ran away from me at that point. I would have been like, "Look, bro, I can't stay inside here anymore. I gotta go. Cash me outside, man." Cash me outside, bro. Your heart's got to go, man. Heart's got to go. So I would have partaked in all that party favor stuff. Because, you know, when I was growing up, you know, it was more about drinking. You know, we partaked in the alcohol, even younger and stuff like that. And I was telling, do I say the word girlfriend? Do I go ahead and say it, Jarvis? Do I say girlfriend? I was telling my girlfriend, I was like, you know, it's funny. When I was down in Florida, like, sometimes I'll bring up a story from my youth to my mom about some things that I did. Oh, she's like, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about all that. I don't want to know. I don't want to know." You know, like underage drinking and stuff like that. You know, I don't want to know. I don't want to know out there. So, you know, but parents don't want to know all this stuff that you do. But I just kind of laugh. I was like, "Mom, that's like 25 years ago. What's the big deal? I don't want to know." Okay, all right, whatever you got to do. So, yeah, but get put me back into that era off the wall, all that 78, 79, you know, put me in the disco clubs, spoon in the nose, partaking in all the party. I'd have tried everything at that point. I would have tried everything and everyone at that point. It wouldn't have mattered. That was the free love era and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it'd have been game on. It'd been game on. I'd have been that guy with his shirt off at Studio 54, you know, dancing around, prancing around and everything like that. That would have been me. Hanging out with some guy named Vito and Rocco or something like that. That would have been me all the way. Oh, Lordy. Anyway, 404-741-0929. That is our phone on our Sunbuzz Diamond text line. UGA, as SEC Media Days roll along today, day two for all of it. Look, I think Georgia's the one team that, if you're looking for somebody who could theoretically beat both Alabama and Clemson, I think Georgia has that ability. One is they got the upper-level quarterback. They got the upperclassman quarterback that has been in that system and obviously has played in a ton of huge games in his career. Been to a national title game, been to a playoff game, been in the SEC championship game multiple times. They can run the football. They got the best running back in the conference. You've got a very productive running back, one of the best in the country. They can run the football. With that, though, goes along with the fact that they have the best offensive line in the country. And if you're going to contain and at least be able to move the chains and work some clock and keep the Clemson and Alabama offense off the field, you got to be able to run the football and move defensive lines forward. There aren't many offensive lines in America that probably could stand toe-to-toe at times with Clemson or Alabama's defensive line. I think Georgia's getting that point. Georgia's got multiple first-round draft picks on that, NFL draft picks on that offensive line out there. Where I think Georgia has the big concerns, obviously, is wide receiver. You know, if you're going to beat an Alabama or Clemson, you got to be able to make a big play. You got to be able to, when the time and the mood is right, when the mood is right. Anyway. When the mood is right. That'd have been at Studio 54 with the spoon and hanging out with Bianca Jagger and Andy Warhol. And that'd have been me. Dude, I'd have grown out of fro. You know that? I'd have had the fro. I'd have grown out of Jerry Curl or something at that point. Oh. But I think Georgia could be that one team that finds a way to beat both Alabama and Clemson because I think they can be physical enough, run the football, and have that quarterback. All right. Was that enough sports in that segment? Did we squeeze just enough in? All right, you know what time it is. Got to wrap up the show. Hot Take Tommy's coming up next. It's going to be time for the Love TKO. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 99 The Game. In the sky, on a ship, fantasy. All your dreams will come true right away. And we will live together.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.